passage selected for the sermon this morning is taken from the second reading, which was also the gospel. If I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Poor Nicodemus, the teacher that comes to Jesus in the night. He's the foil of the story, and Jesus gets quite annoyed with him. But honestly, he's a very good man. He's as good a man as most of us could hope to be. He is religious. He has set aside his life. He is a seeker of wisdom. And he has a certain degree of courage, whereas none other of the Sanhedrin dared to come to Jesus and recognize that he was a prophet come from God. Nicodemus did that, though he did it at night, but he had a lot to lose. He had his entire career, his influence, what he'd worked for all his life, and yet, still, he came to talk to Jesus. And, limited by his human perspective, that perspective that we all share in the absence of the revelation of the Holy Ghost, he met Jesus, and he was perplexed, as we are all perplexed if we try to approach these mysteries of the Holy Trinity through the knowledge that we can have on our own. There are two ways, historically, that we understand the Trinity. One is economical, and the other is ontological. And you guys here have heard that economic word in relationship to transactions of business, right? And to government and budgets. What we mean by economical in this sense is a little bit the same. It's the transaction that we have with Jesus. It's how we look with God. It's how we look at God in relationship to what he does for us. So we say God the Father, who's the Creator, and Jesus, who is our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, who is our Comforter. And while all those things are true, it's a little bit backwards, isn't it? That we look at God for what he does in our lives, not for how we fit in his life and in his creation. The better way to look at it is the ontological way, and that is that God is not who he is because of how he relates to us. He's who he is because of how he relates to himself. That is, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, these three in one are the relationship of God. Now, you've all heard Father Guy tell you many times that God is not just loving, but God is love. It is his nature, his essence, his character. And when we talk about the Holy Trinity and the relationship that they have to each other, it becomes really easy to understand that God the Father is the source of love. It is the outpouring, unlimited, compassionate, full, selfless, the outgoing exhale of love into the universe and to his beloved Son. And the Son receives that love and returns it without any limitation, in perfect obedience, and with faithfulness to his Father. And because they have this tremendous love that goes back and forth between them, they radiate that love and it becomes creation. It is the world, the universe, it is ourselves and our lives, and it is filled with that love of God that goes between the Father and the Son. And that's the Holy Spirit, the overflow of love between God and his Son, recognized and reflected in our universe. Not so hard to understand when we think of it in just that way. And yet, we think about it that way very seldom, because like Adam and Eve, we aren't creatures that have that holy perspective. How different Adam and Eve are than God was, right? I mean, where he is a constant and unlimited outpouring of love, Adam was proud. Tempted of the devil, why? Because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to have the ability to make decisions in his life that God should make for us. And of course, that's always disastrous. Because no matter how much we want to control the people in our lives, our children, our parents, our brethren, the people that work with us. We'd like to have them all in order the way we want them to be, and yet we don't have the constant energy, we don't have the wisdom to make that happen in a way that leads to anything but sadness and resentment. And of course, like Adam, we're selfish. With all that we could have, with the whole garden before him, it wasn't enough. He had to have that one thing that God asked him not to do. And of course, we're self-preserving, right? Where God is the exhale of love into the universe, we are the inhale. Hold it in. Don't give it away. And leave it in there until it becomes stale and absent of oxygen and actually poisonous to us. That's what we do. That's the self-interest, that it, the character of man as opposed to the character of God. And then, of course, all that leads us to be deceitful. What did Adam do when he realized that he had sinned? Did he say, "I'm sorry"? How different would the world have been if Adam had just said, "I'm sorry"? You know, we'll never know, unfortunately. But we do know that instead, he hid himself in shame. Instead of being open to God, instead of being open to the source of love and life and light, he became covered in leaves, hidden in the shrubbery, and living with the shame of having disappointed his God. We can think about God's love in a way that is relatively easy for us to understand. God's love is that outflowing of breath. When God created man and he animated him and made him in his image, he breathed into him. And if we think about it, for every one of us that's here, when did we become part of this world? When, after we were born, we were given a spank on the bottom and started to yell, right? We had that great exhale. Ah! Represented our entry into this world. When we are baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, spiritually we have exactly that same experience, that we, for the first time, because we have the Holy Spirit in us and because we are baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity, we can breathe out not the selfishness that characterizes our lives, but the love that God created us with, the love that he intended for us to share, love and life with him and for eternity. We breathe that out when we are baptized, and that name of God is more than just an emblem or an insignia or a label that comes into our lives. It becomes our being. What are we when we are Christian if not pouring out the love that God poured into us back to him and reflecting that love that we owe him to those that are around us? We are exhaling God back into this world in thanksgiving and praise for what he has filled us with when he created us first in this being and then gave us the incredible privilege of being baptized. And when we leave this world, right, what's that last breath? That last breath is the exhale, the last great exhale. It illuminates all the suffering, all the pain, all the selfishness of this life and breathes us back into the eternal life and love of God, where we will live with him forever. So as you celebrate this Trinity Sunday, let's think and be thankful for this incredible gift that we have, that we have a God who is love, not just who is loving, but who is love and who has made us in love, has redeemed us in love, and who sanctifies us and perseveres with us in our travail so that we can become what he made us to be, his children, to share that love with him forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.